Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Sometimes
you feel like a... That means that it
is not illegal.
Sometimes
you...
Tear down this wall.
Here's Johnny!
Hey, Luke, may the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot
J.R. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay! Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And from the newsroom, Dave Schwann takes over the anchor chair. Good morning.
I love you, too.
What's going on, buddy?
Good morning, Dave.
What's happening?
Well, back in the saddle here.
Back in the saddle.
Good
Your
morning.
Travels were fabulous.
Oh,
love
wow.
The reporting, as always.
Wow, I'll tell you.
You didn't cry like Skilling. I'm going to tell you that right now. I was a little disappointed in that. But, but it was cool.
I totally, completely understand why.
It's emotional.
That happened to him because when I was there and when we were all there, you can't help but be, just really excited, a childlike excitement. And that's what happened to me.
It's once a lifetime opportunity, right?
That's what happened to me. Unfortunately, we had a cloud that passed over the eclipse itself during the moment of totality, but it moved away just enough where you could see almost a portion of it fairly clearly. And I was on live with John Williams, and I'm going, oh, there it is. I see it.
Ah! I know. It's hard to really accentuate that experience on radio.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
You have to imagine, with the way you do it, what you're viewing and what you're seeing.
Well, that's right.
How special it is,
yeah.
Right?
Not only that, when you've got a stadium of, I don't know, however many thousands Saluki Stadium holds there, you've got that backing you up, and they were just into it. Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's so cool. Back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle, and we'll be continuing to follow some family history things we did.
Cool.
As well down there.
Love to hear that. That's awesome. I saw some great pictures you sent me that were absolutely extraordinary. Some of those retro diners.
We're
going
to have to talk
like
about
that.
That a little more sometime.
Yeah.
Because that was just a find out of the blue. We ought to fill
on the
in
drive,
our listeners.
On the drive?
Yes.
Yeah.
We ought to fill in our listeners. I know you want to get going on the
history.
No,
tell me.
But,
tell me, Dave.
That the pictures I sent you, Dave, were found just... That was the furthest thing from our mind. We were driving back to Chicago on Tuesday and needed a break. And we were going to go to Bloomington, I think, and just stop somewhere Bloomington or near Bloomington. There's a Route 66 place that I like.
Neat.
But then I remembered a small town also on 55, also on Route 66, called Atlanta, Illinois, had restored and reopened a new or an older
diner.
I should say an older diner type of thing called the Palms Grill and Cafe. So we found it and stopped in, had some homemade pie and ice cream.
That. I'm telling you, that picture was phenomenal.
Oh, this
Check
place
out Dave's
is
page.
Is a jewel. It's just a gem. But so the person that was there, the young lady that was waiting on us, said, "Well, we've got a museum that has local history in the back of the place here, and then upstairs."
Oh, that's neat.
Go ahead, knock yourself out. So we did. We're walking around, and you know, showing some civic pride. It was really neat.
Man,
you know,
that is cool.
Older pictures of the city from 80 years ago, incredible pictures from nearly a century ago about older gas stations when Route 66 was first built.
Wow.
And then on a kind of a moving display case, you know how they used to display those posters in stores where you'd move the folder type of thing through
absolutely.
And look at them? Okay. So
they have at the museum, yeah.
Yeah, so they had display of a local group from the 1940s, sisters, three sisters, called themselves the Brandt Sisters.
Did you date one of them?
No.
All right.
No.
All right, I'm just asking.
Maybe a granddaughter, but
all
no,
right.
no.
All right.
But think of the Andrews Sisters.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently they won some sort of a talent program and were able to sing on WGN radio.
Ooh, that's cool.
So they came to Chicago. Big deal, right?
Right.
And they were on a program called Say It With Music. And they had...
A program log.
And then they had a copy of the script that was
read
for the announcer and when the music was to be cued. The announcer was Jack Brickhouse.
Wow. Oh, is that cool? Look at that. So you're telling me my notes that are sitting right here could be in a museum?
Yes.
I'm not sure about that.
But I was looking at the script and I'm looking at this program log, and then I looked at the way in which the script was outlined, and it's the old tried and true way of writing a radio script or a script for a play. You know, whoever is speaking, the person's name is in the left hand margin, and it said Brick.
Oh,
who else could
that's
it
cool.
Be?
That's cool.
And I continue to read, and there's a line saying, "Hello again, everybody. This is Jack Brickhouse."
That's very cool.
Couldn't believe it.
Very scripted, like us.
Yeah, right. Just right down to the letter.
I love your adventures, Dave. Always love hearing about them. I do. And we're actually going to talk about a couple of them during the history segment because there's special reporting that you've done over the years on a couple of these subjects. The first one, which you have not done, which I'd like to see a report on, was the invention of toilet paper. There we go. So it's the Chinese invention of toilet paper. Because what did people use before this? I mean, you got to think about this. Grass, leaves, fur,
what
shells, corn
Sears
cobs.
Catalogs for?
Yeah. Well, that's what they said. So corn cobs and pages from newspapers and magazines were commonly used. The Sears catalog, obviously known for that. But they would put out humorous spinoffs called the Rears and Sorbut catalog. I mean, Camille, I know you're listening to this. I mean, you think about a catalog, but people are using corn cobs. I mean, there was no toilet paper. I'd grab a squirrel myself. But it says the Farmer's Almanac had a hole in it, so they would hang it on a hook.
Yes.
So that was another one that they would just grab and rip pages out of.
What year?
It's dumb. 1973. No, this is...
1973?
No, this is the 1920s?
Oh.
Right?
Late
1800s?
Maybe late 1800s, yeah.
Well, let me tell you. All right, so the first... packaged toilet paper was sent out in New York in 1857. But the rolled toilet paper we know today was 1880, but it didn't become more mainstream until the 1920s. Seriously, like there's still rural areas that use the Sears catalog in the early 1900s.
Or whatever they could find.
Or whatever they could find. There you go. 1859, this is something you have reported on. The first Pullman sleeping car was in service. So it was introduced originally. In 1838, providing hotel sleeping accommodations on overnight passenger trains. And although their use was not widespread to the late 1850s, Pullman began building and operating sleeping cars officially in 1959. And of course, you did an amazing report maybe two, 3 years ago on the whole Pullman journey.
Two years ago. And that really kind of came about because George Pullman himself was traveling somewhere and had an absolutely miserable train ride going from Chicago to somewhere else. And he said, there's got to be a better way.
There's a couple clips here of how this came about. And one of them is Pullman porter Herman Simmons. So let's take a listen to a couple clips here about the story of Pullman.
They were ordinary men going about their jobs as railroad attendants, making beds, shining shoes, and cooking and serving meals. In the process, They achieved something extraordinary. They blazed a path for the rise of the black middle class and helped propel the civil rights movement in America.
All right, let's listen to the other Pullman interview. I'm sorry, we're laughing because my voice
is laughing really, about something
yeah,
else.
Yeah, my voice. Pullman Porter, Herman Simmons. There we go.
You know all the Pullman Porters that lived in the neighborhoods, living a good life. A lot of them were buying their homes. All of them had cars. And they was seem to be different from the rest of the neighborhood. So we decided an image for us that we wanted to kind of be like them. Being black, you couldn't get decent jobs anyhow, you know. And that seemed to be the only, well, at that time, we thought it was a decent job.
1888, George Eastman patented the roll film camera for Kodak. 1901, U.S. President William McKinley shot by an anarchist while visiting the Pan American Exhibition in New York.
And who became president?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that question. after McKinley, Roosevelt?
Yep.
Teddy Roosevelt. Look
yes.
at that. Yep. Was vice president at mm-hmm. the time, yeah.
And he was the youngest person ever president until John Kennedy.
Wow. Isn't Trump the oldest?
I think he might be.
Like
first
older
taking
than Reagan
office.
Even.
Well, Reagan, I think Reagan was in his late 60s when he first became president in 81. But yes, I believe Donald Trump is probably, you know, the oldest person to take office, you know, to start the first term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. 1960, and the first true supermarket, the Piggly Wiggly, opened. By Clarence Saunders in Memphis, Tennessee. And
they had those in southern Indiana, too.
Yep.
Piggly Wiggly.
Camille, you're going to Tennessee. What are you going to do there while you're there?
Going to go to Nashville.
Cool. You know, you got to do the
Grand Ole Opry.
Grand Ole Opry for sure.
I'm trying to convince my friends. I really want to go.
Absolutely.
Let's go alone.
And the Country Music Hall of Fame, because it's one of the best museums. I mean, I love the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but and I'm not a big country music person. Mm-hmm. And that Country Music Hall of Fame is phenomenal.
What'd you like about it, Dave?
Just the interaction and how everything was put on display
mm-hmm.
and the stories
that
were told.
It was well arranged.
Yeah. 1934, the first NFL Chicago All-Star Game. Chicago Bears 0, All-Stars 0. 80,000 in attendance. 1939, World War II began when Germany invaded Poland. 1972, fast forwarding a bit here, Rod Stewart's first number one hit, You Wear It Well, debuted. Of course, he was with the group The Dimensions before that. 1975, Gunsmoke goes off the air. And Gunsmoke premiered on CBS in 1955. But on radio, it was on from 1952 to 61. Then on TV from 55 to 75, one of the longest-running TV dramas of all time, started in radio.
I love that show.
It was a great show.
Yeah, James R. Ness on TV. And was it Robert Conrad?
I think
or
so.
Or Joseph Conrad?
No, it was Robert.
Robert.
And
yeah.
They still play all the Westerns on
MeTV. The radio was Matt Dillon on radio.
That's right, yeah. Matt Dillon. That's right. And it was syndicated, I think, as Matt Dillon for a while there, too.
Yes, it was.
1977, the last broadcast of the Mary Tyler Moore Show on CBS. It was 1970. Mary Richards, of course, coming from the Dick Van Dyke Show, was the first female television character to be independent. They wanted to divorce her, but they were concerned that viewers would think she divorced Dick Van Dyke.
Really?
Right. So they changed it to a broken engagement so that they could really establish a new
character. Yeah, well, the broken engagement began the Mary Tyler Moore Show in and of itself.
Right.
Yeah,
They originally she was going to be a divorcee. So Gavin McLeod, Ted Knight, Valerie Harper, Cloris Leachman, Betty White, Ned Asner, of course, the show spun off three television series, all of which aired on CBS, Rhoda, Phyllis, and the one-hour drama, Lou Grant. And then in 2000, Moore and Harper reprised their roles in a two-hour ABC TV movie, Mary and Rhoda.
I think the Lou Grant spinoff was the most successful.
It was, 77 to 82.
I like that one, too. That was very well done.
Yeah. It was different because it was a drama. Mm-hmm. You know, everything else was... Rhoda did pretty well, too. But the show ended, still top of the ratings. And here's Ted Knight as Ted Baxter announcing the end of the newsroom of fictional WJM-TV.
Last night, as I lay awake in my bed, I wondered, how do I tell these dear friends and colleagues how I feel about them? How, I wondered, do you speak from here instead of here? Well, I finally got an idea. Up here.
So prolific.
Finally, the words came to me. I put them down on paper and put them in here.
I think I'm going to be sick here.
I think what I was feeling was best expressed in the lyrics of that wonderful old song. It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go. This is Ted Baxter saying good night and good news.
And then, of course, they all hugged in the newsroom, and it was one of the first times when a television series ended that they actually showed the cast coming out and taking their final bows.
I remember watching it.
Right.
Yep. It was awesome. And then just, what was it, the first part of the year here where Mary Tyler Moore died, called it up on YouTube to watch it again.
Of course. And that night, I'll tell you, Saturday nights, and I just talked about this with an old friend, that Saturday nights on CBS, as today they're burning off shows and reruns and sports, that was the biggest night on television. It was Mary Tyler Moore. It was
Bob Newhart.
It was All in the Family. It was the Jeffersons. It was MASH at one point. It was Carol Burnett. And one of those people, Dave, because you're filling in for Andrea on Labor Day, correct?
Yes, I'll be here with you a week
from tomorrow.
On the
Steve Cochran show. Yep. Yep. And we've got the legendary Bob Newhart.
Excellent.
Back with us. And I will say that I did speak with him already, but he's going to be 88 the day after Labor Day. And we went through a litany of stories, and he said, I said, Bob, you never told these stories before, and I've interviewed you. This is the third time I've interviewed you. He goes, I listened to the old interviews and made sure I told you some new stories. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wonderful. Yeah.
A lot of fun.
He's one of a kind.